that he has. I appreciate him. I just grin when you try to follow him because he gets excited. Like he's kind of preacher. He preaches, don't he? And I like that. I appreciate him. Appreciate you. God's good, isn't he? I want us to go back. We're going to retrace. Go back to Psalms 23 with me. We started a series week before last, and we talked. We just preached on the first point. Kind of got stuck on it, and we're going to finish the second and third point. So if you want to go back, you can listen to it a couple of weeks ago, two Sundays ago, and catch yourself up. But we're going to take off where we left off. But I'd like to say we've got people from where I preached revival last week, New Chapel. They said they listened to our service. Some of them did, said they listened to it every time on Facebook. And I'd like to say hi to them, to New Chapel Free Will Baptist. So may God bless them and be with them. But I thank God that God has put a blessing on us. Can you say amen? Amen. And we're blessed greater than we deserve, for sure. But we're blessed above all in knowing our Savior. So I want to go back to Psalms 23, and let's read that. I don't think I'll hold you over 2 hours tonight. I promise that. And no, I won't preach that long. But it's good to have you. Would you stand in honor to God's Word and to the Word of God? I want to read this chapter again. You're going to know this by the time we finish. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I read that chapter, I always want to say amen at the last. So would you say that with me? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And we're going to pray at the end of this time, asking God's blessing upon our hearts and upon our lives. The shepherd we need, we talked about last 2 weeks ago. And my question to you tonight is the Lord your shepherd? Now, I didn't say, was he your Savior? See, a lot of Christians, a lot of people have made him their Savior. But very few Christians ever make him their shepherd. And believe me, there's a difference tonight. There's a difference in being a Savior to someone and being a shepherd to someone. If you only have Christ as your Savior tonight, this chapter that we just read is superficial. You won't understand all that it means because you don't know the Lord's voice like he wants you to know it. And you don't follow him as he said for you to follow him. See, a lot of times we claim every promise in the Word of God when the Word of God is not given to those that just claim the Lord as Savior. It's given to those that have set themselves apart for God's glory. See, there is a condition to every promise in the Word of God. There is a condition that you and I have the right, the responsibility, and we have the desire from God to claim. And a lot of times we don't claim those. We don't follow those, and hence we cannot claim that promise in our lives. A lot of people, they pray a lot of prayers, and they pray prayers based on the Word of God, in which they should, but they base it on the Word of God not meeting the condition for the prayer to be answered. And see, that's important. Romans 8:28 has two conditions. If you don't do the conditions to meet them, to love the Lord and call to his purpose, then you can't claim that as your promise. There's no way. And that's the way the Word of God is throughout the Word of God. And the Bible tells you and I that we have a choice to do what God would have us to do. But Psalms 23 is filled with truths to live by. But you'll only be able to relate to those truths, to allow those truths to come in, to accept them and to live by them, if you make him your shepherd. He has to be your shepherd. And there's a difference there. We're going to look at that and understand that. But if you will make him your shepherd, it will alter the way you live, and it will alter the way you die. You'll be able to die well, to die in faith, believing, trusting God, but you'll also be able to live the same way. And that is what God is saying here. See, the shepherd is always with us to guide our paths, to meet our needs, supply our needs, and, And our lives are protected because he is the shepherd. We have made him the shepherd. We have chosen to give our lives to him, as he said, do it, and the Lord bless. So we looked last week at the truths, one of the truths of the three that this brings out, this verse does. And we said, the Lord is. Now, I want you to notice the first three words there. The Lord is. Can you say that with me? The Lord is. The Lord is. And we're going to find out later on that the Lord is the same words as I am. It is the very same words, the very same meaning. When David said that, he said, the Lord is. He made a statement, a promise that's unchanging. The Lord is, number one, amazing. And I think that he is. These are powerful words that Paul said here. The Lord is. Now, David used the name there, Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is a particular name. It's something that is wonderful. And some people asked me, the other day, somebody asked me, said, what is the difference between Yahweh and Jehovah? Well, nothing. Jehovah is the English word for Yahweh. Yahweh is the old Hebrew word. We have added vowels to it, and we've made it out. We don't even know how it's said because they never said it. They will not say it, the Orthodox Jew. We say Yahweh because that's the way we think that it's said, but we have no idea because it was such a sacred name. David said, he's my Savior, but he's my shepherd. He's my Yahweh. Now, the Bible talks about that. It's a sacred name. The Jewish high priests is the only ones that would ever say this word. They would say it one time a year. They would not say it, not just in the temple, but they would go behind the veil in the Holy of Holies, and they would say it one time, and they would whisper it. You remember the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, especially at the latter several hundred years, and they would tie a small rope to his ankle, and he would go in there because if he died, they wanted to be able to pull him out. Because of the sacredness of that place. And only the high priest, after he had offered the sacrifice for himself, after he had washed, after he had done all of those things, he would whisper the word Yahweh. It's a sacred name. And David here, he didn't use that name, but that's the name that he referred to. See, the Jewish people considered it to be too holy to write, too holy to say. And when they would come to this word, they would change it with the word Adonai. Can you say that with me? Adonai. He would use that and they would change that. And in the Bible, when you see the word Lord in lowercase O-R-D, big L, lowercase O-R-D, it's always, always Adonai. And Adonai is simply a word that was used in place of Yahweh or Jehovah because it was so sacred. See, a lot of times Jesus, and that's why God said, don't use my name in vain. He said, I will not hold anyone guiltless that uses my name in vain. We need to understand Jesus himself said that I am the bread, the life. I am the truth. Equating himself with the Old Testament Yahweh, he's God himself. Using the very name of Jesus, and people use it all the time, Christians use it all the time, as a slang word. God won't hold you guiltless. It's serious. We need to understand what God is saying here. These are a name that never was written. Now, the scribes, when they would write the Word of God, and they would allow the Word of God to be written, when they would come to this Word, they would write the Word Adonai. But you know what they would do? They would go in right before they wrote this Word, and they would take a bath, and they would find a new pen that had never been used, and they would sit down in silence and awe. They would write the Word Adonai, which replaced Yahweh. And then they would destroy the pen. We've gotten a long way from what we understand to be the reverence of God. You see, what God is saying here is that he's an awesome God. He's an amazing Lord. I can imagine David as he was writing this name in this Psalms here, as he would took a bath and became very clean, got a new pen, and himself, as he himself, as a psalmist of Israel, would write Adonai, and the awe that he felt. Church, I beg you, and I myself, we need to be awed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be amazed by the greatness of God. When we see him in nature, when we see him around us, when we see him work in people's lives, when he answers a prayer, just every day, just an honest day, just be awed by God. Have you been awed by God lately? Have you said, Lord, you're amazing? See, that is what God wants us to do. And when we see him as amazing, something will happen. Now, David here, he used it. And Yahweh, it simply means the God that existed before and the God that existed after. The self-existing one. The one that exists outside of time. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need the world. He's still God. And he exists outside of that. And David understood two things and declares him to be two things here. I want you to repeat with me, the Lord is. Can you say, the Lord is? The Lord is in my life. And when we understand that, as David understood that, we'll be what David wants us to be and God wants us to be. The Bible says here that the Lord is amazing, but the Lord is sufficient. When we read this, how do you think the disciples felt? How do you think the prophets of old felt? Noah or Moses, when he appeared before God, when he was in the burning bush and he took off his shoes and God said, take them off because you're on holy ground. And he said, Lord, who do I tell them that you are when I go to see Pharaoh? He said, just tell them I am. I am a blank check. I am everything is what he was saying. And there's no else. Jesus did the very same thing over and over. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the life, the truth, and the life. I'm everything. He equated himself with the Old Testament God, and he said, I'm just as he is. I am him. And David understood that. He understood the goodness of the Lord and what God was saying. 1 John 2:1 said that he is our advocate, he is our helper, our counselor. Hebrews 7:25 said that he ever liveth to make intercession for our sins, or intercession to them. He is everything to us. You got a burden tonight? He's the burden carrier. Have you got a trouble tonight, a temptation? He is the one that is our advocate, our stand between God and ourselves. He is the one that died for our sins. He is the one that gave himself in our life. He sits now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father. See, that is what God's done for you. See, David said, the Lord is. He answered all the questions of all the worlds. And he said, the Lord is. Whatever you need him to be, that's what he is. And we can trust him in that. We can trust him in that. The Lord is sufficient. He's sufficient for everything in our lives. He is the I am. And I thank God for that. If we realized and we put into our lives and let God etch what David is saying here onto our hearts, you and I would act differently. We would pray differently. We would live differently. And we would die differently. As children of God, we would understand that because he is, we are. Because we're in him. He's not only our Savior, he's our shepherd that's with us and never leaves us nor forsakes us. That is the God that we serve. He's an amazing God. We need to understand the Lord is amazing, that we need to lift him up as that. We need never forget that he is to be honored, to be reverenced above anything in our lives, and to allow God to have his way in our lives and to love him with everything else. But not only how amazing the Lord is, but I want you to notice here tonight how comforting the Lord is. The psalmist here doesn't want us to just understand that he knew about the Lord, but he knew the Lord. He knew him. David said that, listen, he's my shepherd. I know him. He's not my Savior. He's just not the one that died for my sins. But he's with me every day of my life, every minute of my life. He is everything in my life, David says. And David said, I am his sheep. I'm the sheep of his pasture. See, the emphasis here on this verse is that David is saying this. David is saying, listen, not only is the Lord is, he exists. The agnostic says that God exists, that he created the world, but he wants nothing to do with the world. That's not what God is. God said, I exist, but I love the world and that I sent my son to die for their sins. To me, that's amazing. To me, that's comforting. David is saying, listen, that not only that, I know him and I know that I know him. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've given to him against that day. Paul said, I know who I know. And I know that he knows me. See, that is what God is saying in these verses. The Lord is. David is saying, I not only know him, but I've experienced a personal relationship with him. That's what the verses teach us here. See, the only way to know the Lord is the shepherd. It's to know the Lord as a shepherd and Savior. You got to know Him. Notice what the Bible says. I love it in John chapter 10, in verse 27 to 29. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of them. And I like that. He goes on. He said, my sheep, in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, those verses cannot be disconnected from the following verses that come after. But too many, they will pull out the verses of Scripture, and they'll say, hey, this is true no matter what. No, they're not true. What are the next verses? And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Boy, I've heard so many interpretations on that. It's pitiful. Unreal. I've heard people get it all the way, and they'll say, well, it doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do. Listen, you're His. He's your Savior, and you're God. Listen, nothing can pluck you out of His hands. That is not what is taught here. If you believe it's taught somewhere else, that's okay. That's up to you. But it's not taught that here. Not at all. Then I've had people, they'll say, well, Brother Rudy, listen, it says no other man could do that, but I am. But you are a man. This is emphatic. It means that nobody, not even yourself, can pluck you out of the hand of God. Now, don't stop there. You need to understand that you can't pull these verses out and make a doctrine out of them and exegete it that away and it be right, because it is not. You know it's not. And those that exegete can tell you, and they will tell you if they'll study, that you cannot do that. You have to take the verses in the context of what He is saying. What is He saying? The same thing David is saying. The Lord is not just my Savior, He's my shepherd. Notice again, verse 14 of this chapter. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of them. In other words, He knows us, we know Him. Verse 27, my sheep do what? They hear my voice. In contrast, they don't hear my voice. But He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See, we need to understand that those verses come right before the verses we just read. And because of that, that is a condition to meeting and having that promise. You need to understand that. You cannot exegete this. You cannot pull it out and make a doctrine on it and it be right. It's not right. Don't try to do that to the Scripture. Take the Scripture as a whole. It interprets itself. What Jesus is saying there, the sheep express that they belong to the shepherd. How do they do that? They listen to Him, they know Him, they obey Him, and the shepherd knows his sheep. Boy, I like that. I like it when we can go to the Word of God and we don't try to pick and choose how we want it and make it say what we want to do. It's eisegesis. Eisegesis is to go into the Scripture and read it and make it what you want it to be. You can't do that. Not rightfully. It'll not hold up in eternity. But we don't do eisegesis, trying to read into the Word what we think it says. We do exegesis. We pull out of the Word what it says in the context for which it says. Can you say amen? You have to remember those words. But don't try. I've had people do that to me. They'll put words in your mouth. I learned a long time ago as a pastor that you're not silent a lot of times. Sometimes people say things I don't agree with, and I'm silent. I say, it's not worth the battle. Not worth the battle. I had somebody do that 2 weeks ago. A pastor did that to me. He said, well, Brother Rudy, he claimed or he talked about a very controversial subject. I was at his church and I was preaching revival at his church and he said it was very controversial. I didn't know how he believed, didn't know how his church believed. They weren't of my denomination. They believed a little bit different from me, and I don't care about that. God's not in denomination like that. We're not going to go to heaven and free will battles over here and church of God over here. We're going to be together. We need to be together here. But anyway, he asked me about something, and I just said, well, brother, I said, what do you think? Well, he didn't care what I thought anyway. He just wanted to see what I thought so he could contradict it or agree with it. And he told me what he thought. And I just said, okay. And I began talking about something else. There's sometimes you don't pick your battles. You just listen and let them go on. They'll either hang themselves or make it right. Because they're not concerned with what you think. They're wanting to tell you what they think. And I'm not going to enter into that. It's not worth my time. It's not worth your time. It's not worth our time to put our words in Scripture and make the Scripture sound and say what we think it says. Because it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I say. It's what thus saith the Word of God. It doesn't matter what interpretation you pull. I can take you a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament that says you should not eat the white of an egg. And I preached on that. I preached on the white of an egg, why you shouldn't eat it. It's not talking about the white of an egg. But it uses those verses, it uses those words. Why don't you get a little deeper in the Word and understand what it says and exegete it right, learn from it right, interpret it rightly. See, David is talking about this. He said, the Lord is not just my Savior, He's my shepherd. I follow Him. See, there's a difference in those that have claimed to know the Lord and those then that allow the Lord to not only save them but sanctify them, set them apart for His glory. And that is what we need in this time. We need some people of God that say, Lord, You're amazing. You're so amazing. I want to be like You. And whatever You need to do in my life, You be thorough and You make me into Your image. And that is what David is saying here. See, knowing the shepherd, not Savior, knowing the shepherd is a peaceful manner. Can you not say amen to that? It's peaceful to know that you're following Him, that you heard His voice and you know what He wants you to do and you're in His will. Oh my goodness. That's such a peaceful thing, and that's what David is talking about here. He is saying to you and I as children of God that if we want the peace of God, and we talked about that this morning in verse 2 of this Psalms, but if we want the peace of God, then we're going to have to make Him our shepherd. See, the peace of God comes when you not just make Him a Savior, but you make Him your shepherd. And He's part of your life. I hope you don't miss this and misunderstand this, because God does not want you just to come to Him and He saves you and you say, okay, Lord, I'll see you in heaven. No, He wants you to know Him as Savior. He wants you to know Him as we know better than we know ourselves. I kid with my wife a lot, and I kid in church a lot and things. I love to do that. She is one of the most godly women I've ever met in my life. She's more godly than I ever thought about being. And I mean that. I mean, I've seen her life. We've been married for 40 years, and I've seen how she prays. I've seen how she reads the Word. I've seen how she backs me and prays for me. And I love to kid with her. No, I'll kid more. I enjoy that. But my goodness, she's not only give her heart to the Lord when she's a young child, but she's sanctified herself all her life. She's made Him shepherd. See, there's a difference. Have you made Him shepherd? Do you hear His voice? Do you follow Him? Are you more interested in what He wants than what you want? And see, that is what David is saying here. And when it is that way, it's a satisfying thing. It's like one little girl quoted, she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I've got all I want. I like that. And isn't that true? We should not lack for anything. That's the correct interpretation. We should not lack for anything. Doesn't mean we won't have times that we desire things that are good, best for us. We want to be better. We want to be closer to Him. We want those things. We want to pray more. Everybody wants to read the Bible more. We want to do all those things. But we should not lack because of Him, and that's what God is saying. I love that. What's the meaning of this provision here? Of how satisfying the Lord is. Ecclesiastes 5:10 is a wonderful verse, and we'll talk about that. But when we understand that He's the satisfier, that He's the one that provides everything for us, we don't look to the world and the toys of the world for our satisfaction. We enjoy the things that we have. We enjoy, I lost half my fruit trees the other day, you know, in the storm. And the other one's bent over. I only had two. Lost half of them because one of them was uprooted by the tornado. And I've got another one that's been halfway over and I can't straighten it back. The whole thing bent. But that's okay. Storms come. But if He's your shepherd, it doesn't matter. See, trials come, but if he's your shepherd, see, that is the provision. We don't look to the world and the things of the world to say that we're satisfied, that to complete us. We're completed in him. We're made in him. And as a child of God, we don't let those treasures do that. Ecclesiastes said this in chapter 5, verse 10. The writer, he teaches us, he said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. He said, this is vanity. Nobody takes anything when they leave this life. The only thing you do is what you send ahead. The only thing you do is that which is eternal. Nothing matters other than that. That word that somebody spoke to you that made you feel bad or didn't say to you that made you feel bad and it hurt your feelings or doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's not in the allocates of men. I used to, as a young preacher, I'd try to satisfy everybody. And buddy, I found out very early, you can't. You can't. Just love people and go on. That's all we can do. Do the best that we can. I have found that when I get in the pulpit and I'll say, pray for this one or this one, there's 10 that I haven't remembered at that point, but I will later. I'll pray for them, hopefully. But we're human. We may not remember. A lot of times people will stop me and I'll pray for 10 people every Sunday morning because they'll come and I'll pray for them. And a lot of times I want to pray for them because I may forget to pray for them. I'm human. My goodness, and so are you. We're all in the same boat. And we forget. We don't do things sometimes. Things and people, bad as I hate to say it, fall through the crack. And they shouldn't. But because we're human, they do. We do the best we can. We allow him to be our shepherd. And we hope that just as the grace and the mercy that he gives to us, that others will show the same grace and mercy on us as we want to them. Because we're all in the same boat. We all mess up. We all are sinners. As Jonathan Edwards said, we're in the sinners in the hands of an angry God at that sin, not at the sinner. And we need to understand that. And David understood that. He knew that he was imperfect. Listen, David, I believe with all my heart, was an older man here. I believe he'd been through his life and maybe on his deathbed pretty soon because he could not have wrote this stuff as a young man. It wouldn't have meant nothing to him. It did now. And David didn't get far from what he did to Bathsheba. He didn't get far from what he did to Uriah. He remembered that. He knew he had been forgiven. He knew that Christ had forgiven him, but he didn't get far from that. He mentioned it over and over again. He couldn't believe that he had done such a thing. We read it in his Psalms. We read it in several other things, how that the devil would bring that back to him. We can't get away from what we did, but we can go to him and let him take care of what we did. And that is what David is talking about here. But I've got to hurry on. Listen, it's not in riches. John D. Rockefeller died. You remember he was one of the richest men that ever lived. And his accountant was asked by a best friend, how much did he leave behind? And his accountant simply looked at him and smiled and said, all of it. You're going to leave it all behind. Everything. So don't let it bother you now. Don't let it get to you now. Don't put your eggs in that basket. David said, listen, he's my shepherd, and that's enough. C.S. Lewis said this, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Well, you ought to be able to say amen to yourself for that. This is not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers here. My goodness, I don't want to get tied up here. I'm not going to. I've got a place over there that God says I'm going to be there. But not only the meaning of the provision that God has given us, but the magnitude of it. Think about it. He's not only your Savior that died for your sins, but he's shepherd that gives himself continually all your life to grow you and to make you into his image and do what is right. My goodness, I like that. Here in this Psalms, and I'll hush. There's a lot could be said, but I'll hush. Don't say, you didn't say amen to that. Okay, I'll keep on. But one of the things you're going to learn that the Lord has a lot of names, and every name means something. A young man asked me several months ago. He said, why does Jesus have all these names? Why does God have all these names? And I said, it takes that many names to explain who he is. I mean, you and I have a lot of names. Papa, Daddy, Husband, Friend. We have a lot of names. All of us have names that tell something about us, gives us a fuller meaning of who we are. Seven of the names of God is found here in Psalms 23. He is known here, and he is said as Jehovah Raah. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my Jehovah Raah. Say that with me, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's our Jehovah Raah. He's God himself, but he's our shepherd. Do you know him as shepherd? In Genesis 22:14, it talks about Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my provider. The last verse of the scripture says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That speaks of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider, not just here, but in eternity. In eternity. So, my goodness, we're soon going over. You need to start cutting the strings to this life. You need to start dying to what brings you joy here. Because this is a fallen world. It has nothing to offer that over there is not much better. And I praise God for that. The Bible said in Judges chapter 6 and verse 24 that the Lord is our peace. That's Jehovah Shalom. The Jehovah Shalom. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's my peace. Jehovah Shalom. And I like that. I praise the Lord for that. He's my Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15:26. The Lord is my healer. What does the Bible say here in this? He restoreth my soul. He heals my soul. And I like that. I love that. You ought to do a study of the Lord's names and write them out and see the scripture that applies to your life. And then put it on your wall. Put it somewhere that you can pull out and say, God, you're this to me. See, David said the Lord is. And that is what we need to understand. He's our Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, again, he said, the Lord my righteousness. The Lord my righteousness. And what did he say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is my Jehovah Shammah. The Bible says in Exodus 48:35 that he is the Lord that is ever present, always. And what did the Bible say in the New Testament? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's already in your tomorrows. Here in this verse, he told us that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can you say those words with me? For you, thou art with me. He's with you now. He's going to be with us tomorrow. When you get up, you need to look outside and see the glory of the Lord and give him praise and how awesome and amazing that he is. He's your God. He's your God. The Bible goes on. He is our Jehovah Nissi. Exodus 17:15, the Lord, my banner. The Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord is my banner. My goodness. I went into Terry's house the other day. Julie was so gracious to have a discipleship group at her house. And she had Terry clean and everything was spick and span. And Terry made chili and we had chili that day. My goodness, we're getting to eat pretty good in these discipleship groups. And you ought to be a part of that. But no, he didn't do that. She did that. And I'm so thankful for that. And I looked on the wall and I said, Terry, I said, what do you do as for fun? He said, well, I fish and hunt. You couldn't have told that. The whole house is filled with fun. It's filled with deer after deer after deer after deer after deer and fish after fish and plaques and everything else. What do you do? That's what the Lord does to us. The Lord is our banner. He's our plaque. He's our offering. He's our shepherd. I love him tonight, don't you? Boy, I can't wait to see glory. I can't wait. I think of Jim, and I think of all the ones that's went since I've been here. That so many. You can't count them with your hands or your toes. You can't count them. There's so many that's went to glory, and we're soon going. Be ready. Oh, my goodness. Be looking, be watching, because we're going to see him. But lastly, he is our Jehovah Rapha. He is, again, the Lord my healer. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My goodness, as David said, we need to understand what the Lord is and how he is our shepherd. Now, as you read the Word of God, I'll close with this. As you read the Word of God, you're going to find that there's a passage. Every passage has a key. A passage like Psalms 23 is a passage taken together. What we read in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29 and 30 is a passage to be taken together, not separate. And there's a key to every passage. The key to Psalms 23 is the Lord is. No matter where you are tonight, the Lord is. It's okay. No matter what you're going to face tomorrow, no matter what our nation or our world sees, no matter what Israel goes through, I guarantee you the Lord is for them. And the Lord is for you, church. He's for me. It doesn't matter what we go through, we can have the peace of God. Because He's not only my Savior, He's my shepherd. There's a huge difference. But He wants every one of you to make Him your shepherd. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, remember who He is. The Lord is. Father, we come to You now. We ask that Your blessing will be upon each heart that is here. The invitation's given. The altar is open. It's always open, dear God, for anybody that wants to come, needs to come and pray. And may they come now. But Father, right where we are, we always need to pray. In the way that You've touched us, the way that You've talked to us during the words that we hear, whether it be teaching or preaching or songs, that God, we come to You and we ask You to help us. Lord, help me to see You, how amazing that You are. Help me to see, dear God, that You're the one that comes into me and You comfort me, You satisfy me. Dear God, that You are and there's no one else. And I believe that and I praise You for that. Have Your way in our hearts, our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A little boy had